Welcome back. Oh, gosh. Continuing to jump around. You know, back in March, I mentioned there's a pinned tweet on the Road Warrior Radio Twitter feed. Perhaps all that's missing is a pair of Nelson and Carpenter's They Live glasses with which to look outward. Isn't it curious that in Chapter 11, 2029 of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, visual pattern recognition and long-term memory are singled out for augmenting or replacing? And that was a... it included the image from Aaron and Melissa Dyke's March 21 tweet with the sort of overlapping circles, 1984, Brave New World, Fahrenheit 451, and in the center of the overlap, you are here. Speaking of that and jumping around somewhat extemporaneously, for those not well-versed, I guess, and interested in the dystopian literature, there's a great collection. I mean, in my opinion, it's a good certainly a great starting point, and you know, even more than a good starting point. Over at AmericanLiterature.com, you can click on, where is that? The section, where is that? Well, I'm not sure. It's in the menu somewhere. Where was that? Short stories, I guess. So in the main menu, there's a link titled Dystopian Stories. It's a great section. In this collection of cautionary tales, and I can't believe that Yevgeny Zamyatin is mentioned, but we is not listed among the novels. It's kind of interesting. There are some great entries, though. Jack London's The Iron Heel, speaking of that 1905 New York restaurant social club talk. You know, again, you start to put pieces together and you see a common, consistent thread. Renowned dystopian authors include H.G. Wells, Aldous Huxley, George Orwell, Ray Bradbury, Jack London, Philip K. Dick, Ursula Le Guin, Yevgeny Zamyatin, Margaret Atwood, Lois Lowry, Suzanne Collins. Ayn Rand's Anthem is listed. Kurt Vonnegut is mentioned. Jules Verne, Robert W. Chambers, and many other folks. It's interesting, you know, and so you start to look into their backgrounds. Speaking of their backgrounds, I was a fan of G.K. Chesterton until I discovered that he was a Fabian Society hanger-on. I mean, sort of a fan, you know. That certainly colors my view of him, I would say. Anyway, so speaking of dystopian literature and Kurt Vonnegut, To Be or Not to Be is listed. And this, I just thought was kind of fun perhaps to mention. Fun, I use loosely. Everything was perfectly swell. There were no prisons, no slums, no insane asylums, no cripples, no poverty, no wars. All diseases were conquered, so was old age. Death, barring accidents, was an adventure for volunteers. I should mention the prefatory statement, To Be or Not to Be, got a problem? Just pick up the phone. It solved them all. in all the same way. What do you mean? Continuing, all diseases were conquered, so was old age. Death, barring accidents, was an adventure for volunteers. The population of the United States was stabilized at 40 million souls. One bright morning in the Chicago lying-in hospital, a man named Edward Key Welling Jr. waited for his wife to give birth. He was the only man waiting. Not many were born a day anymore. Welling was 56, a mere stripling in a population whose average age was 129. X-rays had revealed that his wife was going to have triplets. The children would be his first. Young Welling was hunched in his chair, his head in his hand. He was so rumpled, so still and colorless as to be virtually invisible. His camouflage was perfect, since the waiting room had a disorderly and demoralized air, too. Chairs and ashtrays had been moved away from the walls. Well, we don't have ashtrays anymore. The floor was paved with spattered drop cloths. The room was being redecorated as a memorial to a man who had volunteered to die. A sardonic old man, about 200 years old, sat on a stepladder painting a mural he did not like. Back in the days when people aged visibly, his age would have been guessed at 35 or so. Aging had touched him that much before the cure for aging was found. The mural he was working on depicted a very neat garden. Men and women in white, doctors and nurses, turned the soil, planted seeds, sprayed bugs, spread fertilizer. Men and women in purple uniforms pulled up weeds, cut down plants that were old and sickly, raked leaves, carried refuse to trash burners. Never, 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 not in medieval Holland nor Japan, had a garden been more formal, been better tended. Every plant had all the loam, light, water, air, and nourishment it could use. The orderly looked in at the mural, and the muralist looks so real, he said. I can practically imagine I'm standing in the middle of it. What makes you think you're not in it? Said the painter. He gave a satiric smile. It's called the Happy Garden of Life, you know. That's good of Dr. Hitz, said the orderly. He was referring to one of the male figures in white, whose head was a portrait of Dr. Benjamin Hitz, the hospital's chief obstetrician. Hitz was a blindingly handsome man. Anyway, skipping ahead, the orderly shrugged. If you don't like it here, Grandpa, he said, and he finished the thought with the trick telephone number that people who didn't want to live anymore were supposed to call. The zero in the telephone number he pronounced not. The number was to be or not to be. Anyway, to be or not to be was the telephone number of the municipal gas chambers of the Federal Bureau of Termination. And so that, to me, seems a fitting sort of entry in this discussion. Speaking of the how things have changed and how we got here, I guess it's also interesting to investigate classical literature, not just classic, but classical literature. This dystopian tract, I would say, is obviously considered classic, but the classical stuff also. And in particular, I would probably point folks to Nigel Warburton's audio series, reading from his book, Philosophy of the Classics. And I actually thought about playing some of that. You know, Plato's Republic in particular, you know, that's something that you, just about anybody could turn on and listen for, I think it's around 26 minutes, 25, 26 minutes. And you hear striking similarities to today's society, the scientific socialism of Plato's Republic, the technocratic totalitarian regime that's envisioned. All of the little ants doing their little jobs, and speaking of ants and dystopian literature, there is The Empire of the Ants by H.G. Wells as an entry. Anyway, another important entry in the discussion of how things are changing so dramatically, if it is edifying, I guess, is the subject of trauma bonding. You know, maybe for folks who are not familiar, you look at the Wikipedia entry, start there. Not that that's, you know, particularly like uniquely insightful, but it's a jumping off point for a general understanding. And the reason that I think it's important to understand is because as you look at the personality disorders, you know, and people, I mean, the Freudian investigation of one's childhood and Freud's morbid preoccupation with certain things. And by the way, speaking of Proverbs chapter 21, I talked about the will to pleasure being supplanted by the Nietzschean, Jungian will to power, which really is, again, sort of dates back to the Platonic concept, the, you know, in Plato's Republic, same concept. And that's something that guys like Bertrand Russell wrote about in The Impact of Science on Society. But, you know, when it comes to pleasure, we went through the 20th century. We're coming through that now. We all are supposed to be, you know, the philosopher kings and the guards are the real ascetists, but we're all supposed to be a little mini ascetists. You know, we should all live in tiny homes and drive tiny electric cars that are worse for the environment than the fossil fuel automobiles ever were. And those kinds of things. Consume less. You know, that was part of what David Rockefeller was talking about. We should play the rest of that clip. You know, everybody, we all got to tighten our belts a little bit. Well, just not us. What we mean when we say we mean you guys. We is a relative term. Anyway. So speaking of the Bernaysian, Freudian, will to pleasure era, I was thinking of Proverbs 21:17 this morning. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. The Veruca Salt era. I want a golden goose and I want it now, Daddy. Roald Dahl, you know, speaking of dystopian literature and old school British intrigue bad guys. The Anglophile Network. Trauma bonding or traumatic bonding is the actual Wikipedia entry. When you start to look into that and you start to hear, you know, the psychoanalysts and the behavioral psychologists and sociologists, everybody's looking at the childhood. And if, you know, Harvard knows that trauma is bad. Persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children. That's the study that I usually refer to. It is essential that children have safe, secure environments in which to grow, learn, and develop healthy brains and bodies. Science shows that early exposure to circumstances that produce persistent fear and chronic anxiety can have lifelong effects on brain architecture. Again, you can rewire the brain with things like persistent fear and chronic anxiety. And a number of articles have been written on things like these active shooter drills. Like this one, shooting.news. Last month, active shooter drills are a form of police state terrorism against children. Shock and awe to give kids PTSD. And it doesn't have to make any sense. You know, is it making the world a better place? Are children safer as a result of this? Absolutely not. So anyway, speaking of the Harvard study, this is just one of many, but to me it's, I don't know, one of the most provocative. Persistent fear, and you know, I always like to refer to this kind of stuff because the unwashed masses don't know, you know, they trust what the white coats say because they've been groomed and socially and cybernetically engineered to rely on the white coats instead of trusting their own lying senses. You're supposed to believe your senses, but only, you know, the empirical data, but only to the extent that the white coats have endorsed. Anyway, persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's learning and development. Working paper number 9. So if that's the case, trauma bonding is a bad thing, and a traumatic and abusive childhood results in many cases in a stilted, disturbed, deranged, warped personality, mental disorders, personality disorders of all kinds, then maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing things like running active shooter drills in schools. I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe kids shouldn't, you know, maybe we shouldn't have the Department of Defense working with Hasbro and video game manufacturers and things like that. Maybe, I mean, I'm just, you know, going out on a limb here. Maybe we shouldn't have kids making all of these first-person shooter videos on YouTube before they're, you know, old enough to drive or do other things. Maybe they shouldn't be making them at all, but anyway. And then there was this companion article over shooting.news. How active shooter drills are used to terrorize the public into support of gun control. Supporting gun control. Yeah, it's called strategy of tension. Anyway, we'll be right back after this short break.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station.
Welcome back. So, you know, you have guys like Kissinger and Brzezinski, advisors to, you know, national security advisor, political advisor, foreign policy advisor to 5 U.S. presidents, I think. And guys like William Yandel Elliott say, 5, that ain't nothing, man. I was a political advisor to 6 U.S. presidents. Who's ever heard of him? And he was... basically Henry Kissinger's handler, you know, the guy who under whom Kissinger was groomed. Anyway, we'll come back to him. You know, and then you have, speaking of old school generational bad guys like, Colonel House, who was not a colonel, A.D. Lindsay was the guy that groomed Elliot. So anyway, it's a small coterie of folks, and, you know, every once in a while the wizard's curtain is pulled back a little bit and, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Anyway, to the phones we go. Warren in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, Chris. Hey, Warren. You just mentioned. Yes.
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, you mentioned Zbigniew Brzezinski, the book he wrote, Between Two Ages. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that the other day?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, that's right.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. Kind of funny why he would predict something like that in 1970. So
speaking of Brzezinski, yeah, some of the other excerpts... Where we can find my notes on that real fast. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, and so, you know, speaking of what I mentioned earlier in the first hour, Marxism and the salvation of man, according to the Frankfurt School adherents, the Theodore Adorno types, some of the things that Brzezinski wrote in Between Two Ages, as far as that, you know, the part two of the book is called The Age of Volatile Belief, post-industrial stuff. You know, he talks about the technocratic, you know, Anthony Sutton and Patrick Wood telling us, you know, the Trilateral Commission was essentially the incubator for the technocratic agenda that came out of Columbia University. But the big concern, and Brzezinski was writing about it in, you know, Between Two Ages, for example, is this new international economic order. It's a resource-based international economic order. And so he was talking about it. Brzezinski was in Between Two Ages, post-industrial, you know, green agenda, carbon emissions stuff. It's, you know, the same thing that David Rockefeller was talking about in the clip that we played, the ambassador dinner, UN ambassador dinner back in 94. And obviously, you know, David Rockefeller and Brzezinski buddies in the creation of the Trilateral Commission. Anyway, as far as Marxism is concerned, I think if people understood what Brzezinski was writing about that and these ideas that these people have tried to advance, I'll wait until the next segment to mention some specific excerpts, but it's astonishing. And these are people in power, in position of power and control. And I went through the series, what was it, last week or the week before, citing Gary Kaa's The Demonic Roots of Globalism. And even Gary Kaa notes that in Between Two Ages, America's role in the Technotronic Era, which was published in 1971, Brzezinski quotes Pierre Teilhard de Chardin in all of this satanic skullduggery. You know, he wrote, monstrous as it is not modern totalitarianism really the distortion of something magnificent and thus quite near to the truth? That just, I mean, that sounds, I don't know, Anton LaVey might have written that. Anyway, and yeah. So,
yeah, back in 19.
We're headed into a break. Sorry. So hold that thought. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. A couple of quick things. I keep forgetting to mention the pledge drive, so I apologize. A couple of quick housekeeping things. So the pledge drive this week, obviously, it's really very simple and easy. Just go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, up in the, if you're on a desktop, in the top, you don't have to be on a desktop. I'm just saying if you're on a desktop, you look up in the top left-hand corner below the search bar there. You can see the support RBN today section. The donate button, use PayPal, don't have to have an account. To donate by phone, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, 800-724-2719, extension 3. And to donate by mail, send check, cash, or money order payable to RBN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, you know, all of that information is there at the top of the website. I think it's on every page. I think that's embedded in that sidebar, the left-hand sidebar. So, you know, any page you go to, it should be there, that information. So that's important. And I guess we lost Warren. Okay. One other quick note, and I want to probably come back to this at some point. I thought that we would be revisiting the subject of socialism. This is all sort of one big subject, and I don't want to get mired in this stuff. I always feel like if we get too consumed by this, then you are, you know, it's target fixation, and that has a number of problems. In this case, not the least of which, you're sort of getting sucked into the tractor beam of the death cult. And I wouldn't want that. So the focal point should be the Beatitudes, I think. Or, in another sort of context, perhaps, Matthew 10:28, do not fear them which kill the body, but are not able to put to death the soul, but have fear of him who has power to give soul and body to destruction and hell. That's the King James, Matthew 10:28. That, don't get fixated on the death cult stuff and, these inferior witches and warlocks, so to speak. That's probably a little more cavalier than I should be. Anyway, back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you. And
morning.
That's good advice. Good morning. That's good advice, because I think at one point or another we've all been exactly where you're talking about. Target fixation and living for something that we shouldn't be living for.
Yeah.
But I wanna thank you, Chris, for your reading of certain books online, because on the phone. Because what I've been doing, the books that you're reading, The Road to Serfdom, Demonic Roots of Globalism, the others that you've mentioned, are actually to be had really inexpensively.
Yeah.
And I'm reading The Demonic Roots of Globalism right now, and with what you're talking about today, it's as though things are coming into sharp focus once again. I mean, when you read that book and you see what Gary Cobb was talking about, and you see the way that it's developing all around us, then you realize that these people have not come up with anything. None of these ideas are their ideas, people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not their ideas. They've given themselves over, just like a Christian is led by the Spirit of God. Someone that denies Christ and is outside of God's will is led by the evil one, by their father. And that's where these ideas are coming from. I don't know. I'm seeing it pretty clearly. I hope I'm expressing myself clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people aren't smart enough to come up with this stuff. And if you'll talk to them carefully, you'll hear such things as, when you ask a question, they'll say, "Well, yeah, sure, but it's not time for that yet."
Well, and that's so interesting. I was thinking about that the other day, just briefly. Guys like Andrew Breitbart. Timing's everything. Like you're saying, it's not time for that. And the esoteric occult leaders, the Manly Halls, they speak in those terms. And so, yeah, we want the revolution, but, you're a little bit ahead of your time, Andrew Breitbart. We don't want that yet. And so we gotta, not yet. Anyway.
Well, not only that, and it goes down to people that we think maybe, if there are sides to choose, maybe on our sides. Wolves in sheep's clothing, whether they're ministers or talk hosts that claim to be Christians, when you tend to see the truth, they'll shut you down. And I've mentioned it to you before, when you call them out, they'll say, "Well, sure, we're facilitators." Well, you're hearing it, and they know what you're talking about, and you know what you're talking about. But the average person that's listening to the radio broadcast or the program on mainstream news have no idea what you're talking about. So they can say it openly, and the sleeping masses don't have any idea that they just admitted their plan to you. They just admitted the plan to the audience, and the audience is so mesmerized and sleeping and hypnotized.
Yep.
That they'll go right along. They'll follow the piper right over the cliff because he's playing the tune that they want to hear. and well, previous caller. You know, it was it was amazing to me because he was right on. They've written about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's astonishing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Bad about interrupting.
Well, I agree. It's astonishing. I'm sure you've heard it. You know, how many times we've all heard, you know, you start talking to people who, I mean, really, I think of H.G. Wells' Time Machine and the movie version of the book, and this people, you know, he travels forward into the future, and there's this, you know, innocent, naive, very primitive herd, nomadic sort of herd, that are just leaping and playing like little children, it's Pan syndrome. Anyway, that's kind of in a manner of speaking, that's where we are in America already. And you take that person and all of a sudden, you know, they become wise and discerning to whatever extent in that fashion that, you know, I mention in Hebrews chapter 5 all the time that comes to my mind. The writer of Hebrews writing that solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And solid food is a metaphor in this case. But, you know, all of a sudden they start seeing how things really work. And how many times have we had the conversation with people where somebody says, man, you know, I'm starting to see everything with new eyes. And you don't just take everything at the level that you have been sort of programmed to accept it at because of your cognitive bias, because of your confirmation bias. You don't investigate the duplicity of a lot of these esoteric remarks that are made, you know, by guys like David Rockefeller, or Barack Obama was notorious for that, I think. Anyway, it's interesting, you know, that whole I'm seeing things with new eyes conversation that you have with people. I'm sure you've had lots of those.
Yeah, and the first one I had was with me. I'm going,
yeah. Yeah.
It was me, because I'm going, wow, they've been lying to me. And literally, the Bible addresses that those with eyes to see and ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. That's not to First Baptist or St. James Episcopal, man. The body of Christ is the church. And when you're seeking the truth, he says he'll set you free, and you'll be free, and you'll know the truth, and you'll be free indeed. So when you're taking the time, because of your care, to look into it, and you're actually doing, we say research, but I'm saying reading, whether it's the Bible or a book. You look at Ayn Rand, okay, or Ayn Rand. I want to always say Ayn Rand, but Ayn Rand. And the book that's pushed is what? You know, it's not the most important book that she wrote, I think. For me personally, was Anthem, because it's an easy read. And when you read Anthem, you're going, and it's so well written. I'm not saying she was a beautiful woman, but it's so well written that when you get to the point where literally in the book the lights come on, you see the lights, you go, what? Wow. Because there are things that are of such importance that mentally, in my mind, the light came on, and I'm going, well, enough of this Atlas Shrugged stuff. Anthem is the book that I enjoyed. And Anthem is a short book that's easy to read.
Yep.
So I don't say, go get Atlas Shrugged and read Atlas Shrugged. You know, it's nice to walk around town, and I did it and still do it. I'll say, who is John Galt? And people will look at you, they have no idea.
Yeah.
So at some point, the lights come on, and what you've been doing, reading this last book by Gary Kaa, it was as though, once again, I'm going through this mental state where I know I'm not crazy, but everything is coming back into even sharper focus than it ever has, just because of picking that book up, written by a Christian man, apparently. And you're going, wow, when you see, you know, Blavatsky, and you see Alice Bailey, or who, I can't remember the names, but you see those books, and you see what she said in the mm-hmm. externalization of the hierarchy. You see it in government. You see it on the radio. You watch it.
Right.
You watch it on the TV news, and you're going, man, oh man, oh man, we're in it.
Yeah. And you start to see this, you know, small coterie of folks, you know, again, like you said, I mean, the influence is, how can people deny the influence? What Gary Carr writes about when Brzezinski himself is quoting guys like Pierre Teilhard de Chardin in Between Two Ages. And, you know, like Gary Carr points out, you know, it's Annie Besant, who was a Fabian Society member, who left the Fabian Society to focus on her theosophical work. And this pervasive demonic and satanic influence, you know, I mean, you can try to deny it if you want, but the more you look into it, the more you see that influence. And, you know, Gary Carr is one of the guys, I think, who's written as brilliantly about it as anyone.
And it's easily understood. Here's the amazing thing to me, Chris. I'll say this, and then I'll make room. It's amazing to me that those that are being held up to us on the news or in politics, like, you know, Tennessee's favorite son, Fred Thompson, who, you know, or Alexander, who went around to houses knocking on doors to become a senator. They're being lifted up as heroic, good mm-hmm. American Christian men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not. They're member, you know, Fred Thompson I can was hear, a CFR member.
I can hear Renee calling already. Yeah, a Bilderberger. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you know,
but the average person is not going to take the time to read the books, to do the study. They turn on Channel 2 or 4 here in Nashville, Tennessee, and some talking head that is now legally presenting propaganda again since the Smith Month Act has been repealed.
They're propagandizing people. It's been modernized.
Right, but since they look cute and they've got a nice haircut, and they're wearing a nice suit or, mm-hmm. You know, what I call skinny jeans and penny loafers with pink socks.
I call them Ivy League pirates, you know, but yeah.
Well, yeah, they're hipsters, given the weather or the news, and people are saying, well, they're with it, you know. They got to be telling me the truth. So they're literally paid Bernaysian presenters that yeah. are giving you a written script, telling you it's truth, and literally feeding you, I said this before, and I don't want to be crude when I say it, feeding you something that is expelled from the human body and telling you it's corned beef. You know, I mean, literally. But because you don't know, hey, I like corned beef. I can eat a plate load of corned beef. But I don't want that corned beef.
One of these
so
days.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, one of these days, speaking of that conversation and the sort of confluence of subject matter, one of these days maybe we can talk about The Fugitives. I mentioned William Yandel Elliott. So The Fugitives, the agrarians, you know, the Tennessee agrarians, the Southern agrarians, we can talk about that sometime. And
it should have been an awakening, Chris, because the very day that I moved here and went to work, on my first day, I seen a license plate that said, "Welcome to Tennessee, the best legislature that money can buy."
There you go.
Okay, that's the first license plate that I've seen.
Truth in advertising.
Thank
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour already. Man, time flies of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. One thing I wanted to mention based on our conversation, John in Tennessee and I, it's interesting, you know, getting back to this subject matter, this, you know, remaking of the world, this new order, you know, it's a satanic order. And again, Gary Kaa, I think, has done a magnificent job of writing about that as well or better than anyone. One of the things that I appreciate most about Gary Kaa's work is its brevity and how succinct he is. you know, and I think of Dave in Wisconsin reminding me of my own prolixity. So that's in contrast. But, you know, speaking of this subject, as the saying goes, you know, we are either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. It comes down to that. And, you know, people can argue that, but it's interesting. You know, again, you start to see what these guys write and say and do, and they seem to be following what I usually refer to as an anti-biblical narrative. And you think of passages like James 2:19, and the NASB reads, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." So, you know, both sides of the spiritual battle, Ephesians 6, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, that kind of thing, both sides of that battle, the spiritual battle, understand the reality of the battle and of the sides, whether man sees it with his physical eyes or not. Which, you know, so if you think in those terms, you know, man is either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, then, you know, that's why I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and what I call the secret decoder ring. And that sort of concept, if, you know, based on, you know, what John was saying, you start to think about how if the Holy Spirit, which is what I call, what I refer to as the secret decoder ring, euphemistically and hopefully not in a bad way. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if that's who decides, so to speak, for man, if that's what's leading man, that's different than man leading man. And in that sort of context, a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, who's really leading man, if that makes sense? You know, again, so it comes back to that question, who decides? And this is why these people want to move, you know, get rid of all religion, especially Christianity and the Bible. Because, you know, then you can't have this infection of the mind and the heart and the soul. Anyway, that'll do it for the second hour. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.